agentinthebox.net or just Skype agent-LHCP to connect with the show. Our focus for the show tonight is traveling the globe with Almost Out of Grace, The Recruit, and Missions Healing Services. Welcome to back to the United States and to the show, Dr. David Yanez.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back on your show again. We always have a great time and definitely glad to be back home in the good old USA.
And see your precious family.
Oh, absolutely. I miss them a lot when I'm traveling, so it's always good to see them.
I know. Well, Dr. Yanez, you do mission work. Where are some of the places that you travel to?
Well, I've predominantly been doing mission work in India, and that's because possibly about 20 years ago or so, the person that trained me in missions was from India, and predominantly that's where I've been doing most of my mission work. But recently we started what I call breaking the ground, and we started breaking ground in Kenya, and it's my second trip to Kenya in a year. So this time it was really wonderful. The first time I went, it wasn't as wonderful. you got to be in the right place and the right. I mean, we can all preach, praise God. We can all share a sermon, praise God. But you got to be in the right place and the right time for that sermon and that preaching to do something for God.
And the Holy Spirit to fall on it.
Amen. Amen.
Well, what's the Mobile Bible College concept for India that you started?
We started that, when we minister, the place we go to in India is all the way on the east side of India, Orissa State, and it's all the way northeast. Inside that state is where the mountains and jungles are at, and that's a place where a lot of people that haven't heard the gospel. I mean, India's pretty much covered as far as gospel preaching in the big cities, but in the small villages, in the jungles and the mountains, that's where the gospel needs to be preached. So in order to do that, we have to bring these pastors from wherever they're at. We pay about $30 per pastor to come out to our conferences, and that's for their bus. That's for, I mean, where else but in India you're going to get for $30 a bus a bus ticket, dinner, lunch, and breakfast for 3 days. So
nowhere but India.
Yeah, so we have to do that. But then after we've done the pastors' conferences, and usually there's a lot of young people that come to the Lord and some older people as well. It just, there's no way to really do that every day and bring them $30 every day. No one could afford that. So we had to implement something that we had a good young man named Amos, and he went out there and we start sending him as our mobile Bible college unit. He literally went on trains and buses and a motorcycle into the jungles, and he basically pastors a movement there by teaching them Bible college. And we have a Bible college there in India. We have two of them. And he takes those lessons and goes every month out for a couple of weeks to different villages to make sure everybody's getting taught and where their school is. He's a good little organizer, good young man. And that's pretty much that concept is to create more of people like Amos. Right now we can only afford Amos. But imagine if you had 15 of those people constantly traveling, constantly going to different parts of the villages and constantly taking the word of God, we can train up a lot of people that maybe they can't leave their job because, you know, jobs are very scarce in India, but they can still get the training they need to be a disciple of Christ anywhere, even, you know, in the evenings or on the weekends.
If there's someone listening to us that would like to do that, how can they contact you?
Oh, they can easily just go to davidyanezministries.com, and on there is all our contact information, and the Mobile Bible College is on that as well. And they can help promote it. It costs us anywhere from $100 to $200 a month to send Amos everywhere. That's paying for his places. He usually stays with the place, the villages. They always have a place for him to stay. But, you know, it costs money to send him on top of the on the buses and stuff. And plus, we got to take care of his house while he's traveling. He still has bills to come in, and we got to make sure he's taken care of. So roughly about anywhere from $50 to $100, we'll actually send a Mobile Bible College student out there teaching or trainer out there. So,
wow, what a ministry. Well, what's the Disciple Training Center?
Oh, that is actually the Bible College. The actual,
okay.
That's the actual Bible College. We have students. I think they have like 20 or 30 this year. I did one of the graduations the first time I went to India. They had me. Uh-huh. I didn't even know I was doing the graduation. And I guess they think everybody in America knows how to do the graduations. I'm like, like, what do I do? They go, what do I do? They're like, just say, hand the diplomas, but you have to give the address at the end. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, great.
With the Holy Spirit and your gift of gab, I bet you were a slam dunk.
Oh yeah, they had to find one of those things to put on, you know, on your head, and then the big old garment, the graduation garment. They had to find one big enough for me because Indian people were pretty small, and so it looked like I was wearing a bed sheet. So, but you know,
you got pictures of that?
Yeah, I do. It's all actually it's on my website. It's on revministries.com. On that website, you'll see the pictures.
Okay. Well, tell us about the orphanage and your children's ministry.
The children's ministry is something that we just decided to do it because we already had a few kids, maybe four or five kids that were already at the orphanage, and that's how they started. Basically, a village in 2008 was burnt down, and Christians were persecuted, churches were destroyed, families were separated, and even some family members killed. And so the kids were left with a choice. Either they have to forsake God or they can't get education. If they forsake God, they can go into the Hindu school. If they don't forsake God, then they don't have no education, and therefore no education means no way of life. So I think I went and visited in 2009 or 2010, a couple years after the incident, and my heart just broke with these kids. They're the most loving kids. These kids would pray all day. These kids were anointed by the Holy Spirit, yet they couldn't go to education because they were Christians. So we had 80 kids that needed to go to school. We divided them up and we started a new orphanage. We had two orphanages now, and we divided the kids and moved them into those places. And by faith, I started that. And I got back. I started writing my newsletter, and as soon as I started writing my newsletter about the event, someone called me and said, "David, God told us to support you per month."
Wow.
And they're actually covering $1,000 a month for the first year so we can get this entire orphanage off the ground. And it usually costs us about maybe $300 to $400 per orphanage a month is what it costs us. And that was a huge blessing. And if they didn't help us the first year, I don't think we would have had it. Because, as you know, the first year of anything going to cost you a lot. You got to buy clothes. You got to get them all medical and all this other stuff. And it's amazing. The paperwork was done so quickly, and we have a really good team over there. I always call us a team because they're doing a lot of the work when I'm over here. It's a pleasure to go into India and minister. It's an honor, but it's also a pleasure because these guys already did all the work. I'm just coming in to preach and to minister, and the team takes care of it. But you know, they're there 24/7, 365 days a year. Those pastors are in the jungle. They're in the mountains, and they're used to living like that. I don't know. I'm not built like that.
It's a little difficult.
Oh, it is. It is. I am not built like that. I need to get home, you know, 2 weeks or so. You know, the funny thing, Shirley, that this last trip, I noticed something different. I had a couple of ministers with me, and I could tell, like, when we're coming towards the end of the trip, I knew it was time to come home already. And you know why I knew that? That was because I start wondering about the cares of the world. You see, the first week and a half, I didn't think about anything as far as problems, issues, things that you're worried about at back home, or bills that have to be paid, or things that you need to get done. None of that fazed me. But towards the last 1 or 2 days, I start wondering about those things. And in my spirit, I was like, Lord, it's time to go home. I'm ready.
Cause yes.
Because the cares of the world were coming upon me, and I couldn't stay focused just on the ministry stuff anymore. So I'm like, hey, Lord, that's the Spirit letting me know it's okay. It's okay to have to wonder about things and see how to get things done.
And you can't neglect your children to help orphanage children completely. And I'm thinking about in the United States, there's so many people that have tender hearts towards children in orphanages. If someone wanted to support a child or help you with this, how could they send it to you?
Okay, we have a website. If I can give that one, it's
I have several
websites. Accusers already got after me about too many websites, but
anyway, no.
it's revlife.net, R-E-V life.net, Rev Life. And RevLife.net, that is our complete orphanage website. That's our complete children's home. That's our children's ministry website. And we have people go there, and they support on there. They have different levels of donating, but anything you can give to help. We have one young lady that just came in and started helping with $300 a month to help us for the summer, because she just felt led to give us her tithes to help us for the summer. And we needed them. We needed them.
Right.
And it was amazing, because every kid got sick in one of the orphanages, and our bill was exactly what she sent for those 3 months.
So, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm like, Lord, you know how we think. We're like, Lord, you just should have kept them healthy. You should have healed them. But, you know, life is life. You're gonna go through it. You're going to, you know, but it tests your faith. And a lot of times, as much as I want to help in India, and much as I want to raise support for the pastors, which is like $50 a month, or do the Bible college stuff, or even the orphanages, I want to teach these men and women of God in India to stand in faith, because God is God over India, and he can make money happen. If he needs to have money, money's nothing to God. God could make that happen tomorrow, today. He can do it.
Yes, he can do it. Well, Dr. Yanez, it's time to take a short break. Stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
My name is Thomas Underwood. I am the school resource officer at Boys City Schools in Boaz. I am teaching an anti-bullying program called Stand for the Silent. Kurt and Laura Smalley lost their 13-year-old son, Ty Smalley, to bullying. After this tragedy, Ty's father and mother took a stand to stop bullying. I don't want this kind of tragedy to happen in our schools or community. Please join me, Boys City Schools, and Team Boaz in an effort to stop bullying. Thank you.
We hope you're enjoying the show tonight with your host, Shirley W. Mitchell, and our very special guest tonight, Dr. David Yanez. If you have questions or comments for the host or guest, you can connect with us at Skype, Agent LHCP, or just send us an email to host@agingoutsidethebox.net. Make sure to visit the websites at fabulousafter50.com, sensationalafter60.com, agingoutsidethebox.net, and agingoutsidethebox.net. If you'd like to be a guest advertiser or sponsor on Aging Outside the Box, just visit the website at agingoutsidethebox.net and click on the links located on the home page for more information. Our special guest tonight is Dr. David Yanez, founder and director of Rev Media Network, Rev Media Publishing, David Yanez Ministries, and author of Almost Out of Grace. In his early years, Reverend Yanez started and pastored a small inner-city church for 4 years called City of Refuge, comprised of mainly teenagers and young adults. Rev Media Network started broadcasting in the spring of 2009, which currently has 1.5 million visitors tuning to the station, which has 3 TV channels that broadcast 24/7. Church streams are broadcast every week from the pulpit of anointed ministers. Live events is a live broadcast of services from churches and Christian events from around the globe. Rev Media has a huge inventory of show archives that can be accessed by selecting a host name. Rev Media have channels broadcasting simultaneously, which are Channel 1 talk shows, Channel 2 sermons, and Channel 3 music. Online streams broadcast 24/7. If you'd like to find out more about Dr. David Yanez, you can visit his website at davidyanezministries.com, revmedianetwork.com, revmediatv.com, revministries.com, revmediapublishing.com, and he also has 4 others, keepingmymarriage.com, relationshipseries.com, survivorsbyfaith.com, and his book website, almostoutofgrace.com. You can also find him on Facebook. They have 3 different pages, one for the book, one for him, David Yanez, and one for Revelation Ministries. And you can also find him on Twitter at twitter.com/David Yanez. Upcoming guests next week, we have Dr. Dale Fife coming on the show. February 7th, we have Donna Carter. February 14th, Marjorie K. Warder. And February 21st, Baz Bazell. Upcoming events, February 2nd from 11 to 3, the 2012-2013, Local Author Expo at the Birmingham Public Library. It was supposed to be the 2012, but they moved it up to 2013. That's going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. March 2nd to 5th, the 2013 National Religious Broadcasters Convention. That's going to be at the Gaylord Opryland Resort in Nashville, Tennessee. April 20th from 9 to 4, the North Alabama Book Fair. That's going to be in Albertville, Alabama. And June 23rd to the 27th, the 2013 CBA International Christian Retail Show at America's Center in St. Louis, Missouri. We have all of these events listed on our website at agingoutsidethebox.net on the homepage and the contact page if you'd like to find out more about them or get the links for all of these events. And now back to Aging Outside the Box with your host, the Golden Egg of Aging, Shirley W. Mitchell, and our special guest tonight, Dr. David Yanez.
Welcome back to our program. I'm your host, Shirley W. Mitchell, and my very special guest for tonight is Dr. David Yanez, founder and director of Rev Media Network. Our focus for the show tonight is traveling the globe. Welcome back to our show, Dr. Yanez.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
How many participants traveled with you to these countries in this last trip?
On the last trip, two pastors. They were brave enough to believe a young man that miracles happen.
And they saw it, didn't they?
Oh, this last trip was just amazing. Miss Shirley, every time I go back, and I've been gone back over there for about 4, maybe 5 years now, there's another level. Another level of anointing happens. Another level of healing happens. Another level of breakthrough happens. And these guys were there, and they witnessed this next level, and it was amazing. These participants, both of them never been to a mission trip like I go on mission trips. So there's plenty of people that go out and they build houses. That's needed. There's plenty of people that go and dig wells, and that's needed. There's plenty of people that go and help raise a church, and that's needed. But what I go what I'm good at. I go with what I can do well. I go with what I'm anointed to do, and that is to hold healing services. That is to bring pastors to do pastors' conferences. And that is to go through the villages and jungles and heal the people. And that's my goal when I go on a mission trip. And these guys, they never did that before. And it was amazing. They were excited. Both of them were from South Texas. And this was their first mission trip, Pastor George Vargas and Bishop Mike Renteria.
Oh, wow. I would like to have been there in spirit to witness what we're gonna talk about in a few minutes. Well, tell me about your 1 hour show, the Midwatch with the Rev.
Amen. Well, you know, this last year it marked my fifth year. At least my fifth year doing the show, and my fourth year doing it every day, Monday through Friday, basically a 1 hour show. But I had to make some adjustments to it. And I'm only recording live shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the rest of the shows, I have so many shows from the NRB and ICRS and conventions that I attend, and I have so many interviews from other people that have yet to even air. So I'm starting to use those interviews for those times, but the show itself is an hour. It has an interview on the last segment, which is 11:35 a.m. Central Standard Time, but the show starts at 11 a.m., and I do a 30-minute encouragement. It's basically 30 minutes of encouragement of talking about something, whatever's in my heart. You know, I'm a pastor by nature on loving people and encouraging them, but I'm an evangelist by just heart, by big heart, just going out and preaching people. So I kind of mix the two together. In fact, I had my guests that went to India. One of them was on the show today, but the other one was last week, and we had a great time. We enjoyed talking and stuff. I'll tell you some funny things in a minute about that. But he really he encouraged me, because I told him that I was refocusing my show on some things, and he goes, David, I feel that they took an anointed, gifted pastor. And they said, we need you to encourage people for an hour, and they give them a microphone, and that person is you.
What a compliment.
That is. And you know, I know one of the biggest things in my ministry that I've been hearing, and it's good for those that are out there. I want you to really understand this. As a minister, as a person that brings the word of God out, you need to notice your gifts. Notice what you're good at. And notice what helps people. You know, because no matter how well you enjoy something, if it's not helping someone, it's no good. You need to make sure you're doing something that you really know that is helping people. And the one thing I can say that helps people that I do is I'm an encourager. I go to churches and people are so encouraged when I leave. Don't you want to be encouraged when you step out of church? Don't you want to be encouraged when you come out of a revival or come out of a healing service? That, man, I just feel like I can take this world with God. And that is my gift. And I noticed that. That's one of my gifts. And, you know, other gifts, of course, healing and praying for people. I really, really assessed my show. And the only change I made was every show is going to be a show of encouragement. And then we do a good interview with someone at the last segment and highlight them and help them promote their ministry. And really, I mean, it worked better. This last 3 weeks, I've been so more excited. I guess that's a good word, so more. I don't know. But I've been more excited to do the shows because I have a better focus on it. And then our TV shows are coming up middle of February. We're going to start broadcasting our TV shows on Midwatch TV. That's going to be on revmediatv.com. Again, that's revmediatv.com. And we're going to be having a beautiful show with a 30-minute segment with interviews of Skype interviews, video interviews, and live interviews. And we're gonna see what God does with that. And that's going to go on different television stations as well as our IPTV format.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, we were talking about your hour-long show, Midwatch. If someone's listening and they would like to tune in to your show, how would they do it?
They can go to revmedianetwork.com and they go to the talk show channel, which is Radio Channel 1. And at 11 o'clock, they just click on the button and they hear me streaming.
Okay. You talked a little bit about the coverage at ICRS and NRB. You want to expand on that anymore about some of the people you interviewed there?
Oh, I tell you what, most of the time, I did not, when I've done my show, when I recorded my show or did my show live for the last 4 years, I did not have a guest all the time. Imagine having to take a whole hour and do something with that hour every time.
it takes a lot of research and a lot of Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and I ad-lib the best I can. I would take a sermon that I preach and just go over it for 3 days. And this last year, God opened the door, and I really believe it's because of faithfulness. And meeting you, Shirley, and meeting Cruiser, y'all encouraged me to come to the conferences as media and press, and I started doing that last year. So you're a big reason. You sowed a seed in me, and it's harvesting. And I was able to interview so many different people. I think, our entire show, we never really had guests come on either on just the call-ins, and we start implementing that, and then the NRB and the ICRS. I mean, the names that I mean, Michael Norris, Chuck Norris's son, interviewed him. B.B. Winans interviewed him. Marilyn Hickey, John Slitt from Petra, Joan Hunter, Henry Fernandez, Annie Jimenez. So many different people that we interviewed, and we just interviewed Sherry Kagi the other day. And you know, these are people that you know, they would never have came to the station. If I didn't have God lifted up, because only God could do that. Only God can open up a door in one day, in a blink of an eye, lift your ministry up or take it to another level. And that's what those events help do. And now I constantly have emails and phone calls and tons of material coming in the mail. And when there's a campaign, I know about it because I got it in my mailbox.
Well, I told you God was good, didn't I?
Amen. You sure did. You sure did. You're good to know, Shirley, because since I've known you, my ministry's been blessed.
All right. Well, how many people around the world listens to your broadcast in a year?
In a year, we just did the stats on the actual people that listened, and 6.5 average hours, 1.2 million people listened this last year.
Wow.
And that's, what? I think that's through the whole station. And if you took about 200,000 of that, 200,000 of that every month was on my show. So it's a lot.
It's wonderful. It's a blessing, and you're blessing so many people, and I'm so proud of you. Well, Dr. David Yanez, we're going to have to take a short break right now. Stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
We hope you're enjoying the show tonight with your host, Shirley W. Mitchell, and our very special guest tonight, Dr. David Yanez. If you have questions or comments for the host or guest, you can connect with us through Skype at Agent LHCP, or you can send us an email to host at agingoutsidethebox.net. Make sure to visit the websites at fabulousafter50.com, sensationalafter60.com, agingoutsidethebox.net, and agingoutsidethebox.org. If you'd like to be a guest advertiser or sponsor on Aging Outside the Box, just visit the website at agingoutsidethebox.net and click on the links located on the home page for more information. Our special guest tonight is Dr. David Yanez. He's the founder and director of Rev Media Network, Rev Media Publishing, David Yanez Ministries, and he's also the author of Almost Out of Grace. In his early years, Reverend Yanez started and pastored a small inner city church for 4 years called City of Refuge, comprised of mainly teenagers and young adults. Rev Media Network started broadcasting in the spring of 2009, which currently has 1.5 million visitors tuning to the station, which has three TV channels that broadcast 24/7. Church streams are broadcast every week from the pulpit of anointed ministers, and live events is a live broadcast of services from churches and Christian events from around the globe. Rev Media has a huge inventory of show archives that can be accessed by selecting a host name. They have three channels broadcasting simultaneously: Channel 1 talk shows, Channel 2 sermons, and Channel 3 music. If you'd like to find out more about Dr. David Yanez, you can visit agingoutsidethebox.net. He's on our homepage currently, and we have links there that will take you to his show page on the January 2013 page. And he also has several other pages. I think there's four other pages that we have for David on our website. And you can also visit his website at davidyanezministries.com, revmedianetwork.com, revmediatv.com, revministries.com, revmediapublishing.com, keepingmymarriage.com, relationshipseries.com, survivorsbyfaith.com, and almostoutofgrace.com, and also the revlife.net if you'd like to make a donation to the ministry. You can also find him on Facebook. He has three different Facebook pages, one for him, one for Revelation Ministries, and one for Almost Out of Grace. And he's also on Twitter at twitter.com/David Yanez. Upcoming shows, we have Dr. Dale Fife. He's a new Whitaker House author. His book is entitled The Light Giver. He's coming on the show January 31st. Donna Carter, another Whitaker House new author. Her book is Friend Me, and she's going to be on February 7th. Marjorie K. Water coming back for her second visit on February 14th. And Baz Bazell coming back on February 21st. Upcoming events, February 2nd from 11 to 3, the 2012 Local Author Expo, 2013 Local Author Expo at the Birmingham Public Library in Birmingham, Alabama. March 2nd to 5th, the 2013 National Religious Broadcasters Convention at the Gaylord Opryland Resort in Nashville, Tennessee. April 20th from 9 to 4, the North Alabama Book Fair. That's going to be at the First Baptist Church in Albertville, Alabama. And June 23rd to the 27th, the 2013 CBA International Christian Retail Show. That's going to be at America's Center in St. Louis, Missouri. If you'd like to find out more about all of these events, we have them posted on agingoutsidethebox.net. They're on the homepage and the contact page, so it's real easy. We have links to all of the locations on the events as well, so that you can find out more about the location to where the event is going to be. Again, you can visit Dr. David Yanez on agingoutsidethebox.net if you'd like to get his links, if you'd like to purchase his books. We have links there on his book covers so that you can, one or two clicks, you can purchase the books. And we have all kinds of information on there about all of his ministries that he's involved with. And now back to Aging Outside the Box with your host, the Golden Egg of Aging, Shirley W. Mitchell, and her special guest tonight, Dr. David Yanez.
Welcome back to our program. I'm your host, Shirley W. Mitchell, and my special guest for tonight is Dr. David Yanez. Our focus for the show tonight is traveling the globe. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Yanez. Would you like to spend a few minutes telling the people about yourself or how they can reach you, things that we haven't already said?
I think that they are covered most of it. The best way to get a hold of me is definitely by just going to davidyanezministries.com and just going on there and clicking contact us, or you can email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. I'm very good at email, so that's probably the best way to get back and forth with me. And in fact, I get prayer requests through the email all the time. And would you believe, Shirley, people get healed?
Oh my goodness, that's wonderful!
Yeah, I've gotten emails, and I pray for them, and I email right back, and then down the road, there's this one lady. She emailed me and asked me to pray for for her daughter that was getting tested in November. That the tests that they took were very negative originally, and that she's gonna get retested, and they were going to go to prayer before they started the treatment. They gave her 5 weeks to come back to get tested again or get the results, and she emailed me, and I just went ahead and prayed, and I took it to the Lord, and I emailed her back and said, "We prayed for your daughter. We prayed things are going good," and then I left it at that. Would you know, in the middle of November, I get an email from her saying that she was completely healed. So,
You know, you prayed for me in my last doctor's appointment. Everything was good.
Amen. God is good. God is good when we're faithful. We just love him and trust him. And you know what? Even when we don't do our best, God still does his best. You know, that is amazing.
Yep.
That is amazing.
Well, we've talked about your mission trips to Kenya and India, and I want to hear about some of the miracles that happened.
Amen. Let's start with Kenya real quick. And Kenya was when you go somewhere, you got to know God sent you. I went to Kenya in August, and my pastor asked me to go, and it was a good trip, but it wasn't a trip that I expected to do as far as where I wanted to do, how I wanted to preach. And I was very disappointed. And I was very disappointed because it wasn't miracles. It wasn't anything like that. In fact, we just went to schools and ministered to kids, which was fine. But that's not me. Like I said at the top of the broadcast, go where you know what you're supposed to be doing and know what you're good at. And that way, you know, you're going to be a blessing. And you're not going to, when you do that, you're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be dissatisfied because you know when you're doing your best for God in something that you do. And I was kind of discouraged, so I wanted a second chance. I was like, God, give me another chance to go out there. But, you know, I don't want to go the same people. I want to do it the different way. And a good friend of mine had a son in faith out there that just moved back to Kenya. He was in Tanzania, and he just moved back to Kenya. And he asked me to come out there, and I told him that I was going to go to India. I want to do a short stop over in Kenya just for 4 days, hold a pastor's conference and a crusades at night. And He was great. He was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's make this happen. With very little money and with two pastors that are trusting me to get in and out of Kenya and India, I went over there and we ministered. These guys were phenomenal in the pastors' conferences. I maybe did one or two sessions, but I let them do all the pastors' conferences while I rest and prayed for the crusade nights. And the crusade nights, oh, it was fun. I haven't preached like that because in India we can't hold crusades. We have to hold our services inside churches or buildings. But it's an open air crusade, and we were able to preach out there. And I hadn't preached like that for at least 20 years. it was nice. It was nice just to preach and just to preach like a Billy Graham would preach, or preach like one of the great men of God that would just preach out there in the open air crusades. And I've been reading that book, the Revivalist. So from
all
Whittaker,
right,
but
yes.
God's Generals and that book, yes, really, really helped me. And when I was down there to visit with y'all gave me that book, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm almost finished with it. And so I was using some of the techniques that I read up in that book, and they work. and they work. We had people
wonderful.
We had people come out of a bar that were drunk to get saved. We had people that were in the middle of a village, and it was kind of like just a old community. It used to be a community for like the tea makers and stuff, back for this one big tea company and coffee company. So there's all these buildings that people were living in, and they all start coming out of where they're at, and it was amazing. But the one testimony I want to tell you is this one little girl. I was preaching on compassion. I was preaching on when the story about when Jesus was in the house and they lowered the young man through the roof to him to pray for, but they tore
yes.
they tore up the roof, and they didn't care if they're going to get in trouble. They wanted to get this guy healed. And what happened? That man got healed, but those two people that brought him got saved. So I preached on that if you have compassion will always bring two things, salvation and healing. And I used that story. I said, if you know someone that needs something, you bring them right now. Bring them to this event. Get them prayed or get them saved. Get them healed or get them saved. Five little girls brought a little five-year-old to us. And these girls were about 7, 6 years old. They went to her kitchen, took her out of the kitchen. Her mom just seen five girls come and drag this girl out of her kitchen. Brought her to the stage, and she was deaf and she was mute. And we prayed for her. And when we prayed for her, she got healed. Her mother was not too
far.
Amazing. Her mother was not too far away, running behind them to see what happened. By the time she got to the stage, her daughter was healed. And we told her, your daughter is healed. She's like, no way. She's deaf. She's from her birth. She's been deaf. And then someone whispered in her ear, mama, and she repeated it. And she said, mama, real softly, but enough for everybody here with the microphone. And the mom fainted to the ground.
Oh, wow.
She never heard the word mama. And that was her first words. She was doing like ABCs when we're talking to her, trying to make sure she could hear us and that she could talk. And then when she seen her mom, she wanted to say mama so bad she said it. It's amazing. It's amazing. Wow. So that was one of the miracles in Kenya. I think that was probably one of the – that is – I've had a couple of interviews with my friends from that went with me to India, and that's the interview we always go back to. That's the miracle that we all go back to because we're just so excited. I think that was because that was the biggest thing that I think happened besides the breaking with the anointing, the principalities of the air in that area. That was the biggest thing that happened in Kenya and the salvations and a few healings, and there was good. But then when we went to India, Kenya is like – Nairobi is like a vacation mission. It is so Americanized. I mean, you got a good hotel. You got good food. You got a good car to take you around. Roads are like the United States. It's no big deal. But when you go into India, it's a whole different thing. I told my friends, I got their hands before we got on the plane to India. I go, guys, I'm going to take out a hell and back. I promise you. I'm going to ride
us,
with you.
Tell us a little bit about it, how it was.
Oh, it's different. It's big time different because you're going into – you remember Kenya loves the Lord. Africa loves Jesus. They do. They respect God. They understand who God is. They were raised up 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 generations knowing about God. In fact, schools were started by Christians. Christians would go there and start the Christian – actually, my pastor, his great aunt was one of the first school teachers in Kenya, and she opened a Christian school.
Mm.
And it's amazing that we went out there. He just found that out recently. And he goes, wow. He goes, now I know why I have such an anointing for Kenya, because my family has sown in Kenya. And he never knew why he was drawn to Kenya. He just found that out. And so they have known about Christ, whether it's either through Catholics or whether it's through the Christian or Protestant faith, whatever. Kenya knows Jesus. There's no surprise. You know, there's not going to be a violence. They're going to love you regardless. When you get to India, you're talking about people that do not want the God. That there's a million gods that they serve, and God that you're talking about just can be one of the million. They are is demonic in the air. It's hate. It's different things like that. That when you look at it, and then the filth that's there. I mean, there's so many things. I don't want to go too far into it, but it is a dirty place in the areas that we have gone to. People just defecated on the streets, and it's a place you have to really be called to go. And the other thing is, there's a danger whenever you share the gospel in those areas, because people don't want to hear it. People don't, and mm-hmm. One person that don't want to hear it can cause a big problem for your ministry and for your time. But I've been blessed. I've been able to get in and get out without any troubles. I feel, and my friends, they swear that I know Hindi and Ori and Telugu, because I pretty much could go around the whole country without anyone helping me. And I'm understanding what people are telling me, and I'm talking to them in English, and they're talking to me in whatever language they're talking to me, and we get an understanding, and we just keep going. And from the cab driver to the hotel to the ordering food, and I think I can order food in any country, but I mean, seriously, it's like, that's just how it is. And it's amazing. But India itself was an amazing thing. These guys seen some miracles before. You know what I told them? Before you come to India, before we go to India, pack like you're going to the moon. If you didn't bring it, it does not exist. I told him that. I go, if you need snacks, if you feel hungry, pack it, because you're not going to find what you like to eat when you get there. There are going to be some times we're going to have some good meals, but a lot of days we're going to have some just borderline meals. So just be prepared. I should never have told him that, Miss Shirley. One of the guys brought a 75-pound bag his suitcase was 75 pounds. It was 20 pounds overweight. And every time we went to a different airline, he had to pay $100 to get. And it's like we're dragging that thing all over till we got to India. And then we didn't use any of the snacks. Any of the snacks in Kenya, maybe one or two. Because they just had everything we needed. You wake up, you had a good breakfast. You had eggs. You got ham. You had bacon. You had fruits. You had potatoes. You had a good life in Kenya. In India, there was nothing appealing for them to eat unless we're at a good restaurant or a good hotel where I can get a fried egg and some toast. That's about the best you can do as far as Americanized. That's about the best you can do in India if you're going into the jungles. But God blessed us that we found a Pizza Hut and a Domino's in Bhubaneswar before we came back. We like annihilated the place.
I bet. Well, you really got a surprise in India when this young woman presented you with her son, didn't you?
Yes, it was actually the last day, and I was a little down as far as physically. They thought I was a robot. My friends really thought I was a robot because I was going, no problem, because I'm their host. I brought them. I'm responsible for them. I had to make sure they got to their hotels all the time, make sure they had water because that was a big issue. So I actually got a little bit of a cold that last day, and I was drained. And I let my other friend preach the last service at this big church, and George preached a wonderful sermon. And at the end of the service, there was two amazing things happened. And one of the amazing things was this lady. They kept waving at me when I was praying for this young lady. They asked me to come up to the stage because this lady wanted to talk to me. And I went over there. A year ago, I prayed for her. And she was barren. And I looked at her and told her, when that same church, I said, you will have a baby. It will be a boy. And when you have that baby, he goes, you're going to know it's from God. And she had that baby in her hand when I came back.
Oh, what a blessing.
And then she looked at me and I said, well, what's the baby's name? What's the baby's name? And they're like, well, we didn't name him. Because she goes, I didn't name him because God told me when the baby was born that the man of God will come back to my church and that he will name him. And I'm looking at them. I guess that's me. I got to name the child. And I just looked at him for 1 second and I said, Samuel. And when I said Samuel, Miss Shirley, my friend looked and said, oh, he hears God. That's the first thing he said. He hears God. You know, when you translate Samuel. And then he fell to the ground. He fell out in the spirit, my friend. That's works of the gifts of words and knowledge. He just fell to the ground. He knocked out for just a second. I picked him back up. He said, did you see that, brother? I go, amen. That was the name that God destined for this young man, this baby, was Samuel. And it was amazing. It was amazing to see that. And, it's good to see the fruits. You know, sometimes we go out there, we preach, we do a lot of work, and I never stick around long enough to see the fruits. But this time I was able to go back to a church that I visited one time before and see the great fruit of that. And that's amazing. Another thing that happened in that church was when I leave the churches and stuff, they stick their hands out to shake my hands, and you're shaking hands as quick as you can, and everybody's putting their hands forward because they want to shake your hands and stuff. And I was reaching out because I thought this one young lady wanted to shake my hand, so I reached my hand out for her to shake my hand, and she gently puts my hand on her ear. And she picks up my other hand and gently places my hand on her other ear. And then she looks at me and does a symbol of to pray. And she puts her hand together and shows me to pray for her. And then they tell me she's deaf. And I started to pray like I'd never prayed. I just said, Lord, I want this. It just touched me so much that we didn't pray for her yet, and that she was standing in line to pray this whole time. And I'm like, Lord, I'll pray for this young woman. I ask you, heal her in Jesus' name. And when I prayed for her, she just started to cry and cry. And every word I said, she repeated. That was God.
Wow.
She was healed instantly. In fact, Miss Shirley, every single place we went to in India where there was deaf and blind and mute, they were healed instantly. There was one time I was preaching, and I tell you that this is what I call special miracles. There was one time when I was preaching, and this man was sitting all the way in the back of the church. And when I was preaching, I prayed for everybody. The next time I looked up, he was standing right beside me. And I'm like, I looked at him, okay, do you need prayer? He goes, nope. He goes, I was paralyzed for 5 years. For 5 years, I was paralyzed from a motorcycle accident. He goes, but when you're preached and you start preaching, I seen your face shine. And when I seen your face shine, he goes, I felt my legs. And when I felt my legs, I said, Lord, I believe I can stand. I believe in the God that this man is preaching about. And he stood up. He goes, it took me 20 minutes to walk to you. He goes, but I walked to you and I'm standing beside you. I want you to hug me. I gave him a hug and he said, I'm walking home. And he took his time and he walked out of that church for the first time in 5 years. And that's what I call it. We didn't have to lay hands. We didn't have to pray because of requests. God knows your needs. A sermon I preached in Kenya, and I said, God, what is important to you is important to God. He knows what's important to you. He knows what's needed. You don't got to scream it. He knows it. Just believe it. God said, you know, stop screaming about it and just start believing. And that man stood up and he was healed. And then there was this other church. We're in the middle of the jungle somewhere. I have no idea. We took so many turns. I lost my way already. I'm like, they better take us back because I have no idea where I'm at. And when we got there, we finished preaching. Miracles happened. And I'm sitting there. Okay. And I'm tired. I'm drinking a Sprite. And I'm just tired. People were eating on the other side of the compound. I'm in the church still just tired. And this little old lady came up to me. Her hand was completely crooked from the fingers all the way to the elbow. Completely torn up and crooked. And I looked at her. And then I looked at my friend. And he goes, you got it? I go, yes, I got it. And I cut my hands. I cut my hand like a ball. And I said, put your hand through that. And she put it. And this was just me just putting down my Sprite and said, put your hand through that. And she put her hand through between both my hands. And as her hands passed, as her fingers passed my palm, it cracked. As she kept growing, her whole hand started cracking. As she got to her elbow, it snapped back into place and her hand was completely straight. That's like special miracles that only God can do. And when I left to when we were leaving that place, because it was time to go, I seen this young woman. She was kind of tall, hobbling to us. She's one side was a cane, and she's hobbling as quick as she can. And we're getting to the about to leave, and I go, no, we got to wait for her. And I looked at her, and I go, darling, what do you need? And she just looked at her foot. Do you know her foot was at where her kneecap was, and her other foot was on the floor. But her foot was so short, it was where her kneecap, close to where her, just maybe a little bit below her kneecap. I didn't even think of it, Miss Shirley. I just reached down, grabbed her foot, and yanked it down. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And I pulled her foot and it hit the ground. And you could see dirt fly out of the side of it when it hit. And I looked at her and I said, you are healed in Jesus' name. And I just got in the truck and just left. So it was amazing.
Oh, well, I tell you what, no wonder you're talking so fast and so excited. I'm getting excited with you. Well, one minister traveling with you said it was like the people were all coming to the doctor's office and leaving with their healing.
Absolutely. He was talking to his wife on the phone, and it was probably the third service. It was actually, I think it was the second service. And the first service I preached, the people said that they see my face shining when I was preaching. Isn't that an awesome compliment?
That's awesome.
our driver, which is Hindu, he was Hindu, and the first service, usually it takes to the end of the end of the whole ministry trip to get my driver saved. I always hired a different driver or someone I know, and most of them are Hindu. And this guy at the beginning of the journey, he got saved on the first night. I was upstairs eating, and he was looking for me, but he ran to Pastor George, and he said, I seen David's face shining. I seen Dr. David's face shine, and he goes, I need that Jesus. I'm not right. Please pray with me. And he was our best worker. He got saved. He was ready to preach. He had a Bible in his hand, and wherever I'm praying or wherever one of us is praying, he would translate and help pray and help us. And so the pastor starts seeing this common thing happen in each of the services we're doing, that people were coming in like they were coming to a doctor's office. He said it looked like a doctor's office. They're just sitting there quietly, patiently, and then they're all getting prayed for, and they're all leaving with their healing.
It's
amazing.
David, you definitely had a divine appointment there.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We're just praising the Lord with you, and we hope you get a lot of people calling in and wanting to help you with your ministry. So before we close down the show, we'd like to thank you, Dr. David Yanez, for being a guest on our show and for sharing the insights of your experience, knowledge with us.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. It's always a blessing to come in and share with people that are like-minded in faith.
Yes.
People that are so loving. I appreciate how much y'all took care of me when I was visiting y'all in last few months back in October.
Well, we enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yes, David. Thank you for being a guest on our show again. If you'd like to connect with Dr. David Yanez from Rev Media Network, you can do so on agingoutsidethebox.net. He's on the homepage. We have links there that will take you to his show page, and we have all of his information located there, all of his links. His books are located there, one or two clicks, and you can buy his books almost out of grace. And you can also visit his websites at davidyanezministries.com, revmedianetwork.com, revmediatv.com, revministries.com, revmediapublishing.com, and almostoutofgrace.com. You can find him on Twitter at twitter.com/davidyanez, and he has three Facebook pages, one for him, David Yanez, one for Revelation Ministries, and one for his book, Almost Out of Grace. So be sure and connect with David on any of his websites, or if you can't, if you haven't written these down or you forgot them, just go to agingoutsidethebox.net. We have them all throughout our website system, so you'll be able to find him very easily. And David will be at the 2013 NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, in Nashville, Tennessee. That's March 2nd to the 5th. And he will also be at the 2013 CBA International Christian Retail Show at America's Center in St. Louis, Missouri, if you'd like to come and meet David in person. And we hope that you'll connect with David. If you want to make a donation to his ministry, it's revlife.net. I'm sure he would appreciate that very much.
We have about 1 minute before I do my closing. Do you have anything else you would like to say to our listeners?
Yes, I would like to say, believe that God could do it with you. And in Joshua, I believe it was the third chapter, God told Joshua, see what I have for you, the land full of milk and honey. My friends, if you want to see God move, you got to see it in your spirit, like he told Joshua to see it. See what I have.
True. And,
amen.
We had a fabulous and sensational time sharing our program with you today. I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. David Yanez, and you, our listeners, for sharing your time with us today. Please remember, you can send us an email during or after the live show to host, that's H-O-S-T, at agingoutsidethebox.net. As they're always welcome, they help us to grow our programs. And during the shows, you can call in through Skype to Agent, A-G-E-N-T, dash L-H-C-P. Please stop by to visit David's website at revmedianetwork.com, revmediatv.com, RevMediasMinistries.com, and AlmostOutOfGrace.com. We hope you'll join us next week on Aging Outside the Box, when our special guest will be Dr. Dale Fife, apostolic pastor from Sun Point Church in Bradenton, Florida, teacher, musician, and author of four books, including The Light Giver. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Have a fabulous and sensational second half of life.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. God bless you.
God bless.